Well, as you're seated this morning, please turn with me in your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 2. And if you need a Bible, it's on 1212, page 1212 in the Pew Bibles. And what a wonderful passage. And the Lord has so much here. And yes, it did expand to 3 weeks. I can't wait to preach to you part three. How privileged and blessed I feel to be your pastor and to be able to study and proclaim the Word of God. How great is the Lord? How mighty is the gospel? And I got to tell you, there are times I'm absolutely convinced that I am the happiest man alive on planet Earth. Absolutely, I mean that. To know Christ and to make Him known, to tell others His word. Just yesterday, Donna and I had several hours with an 89-year-old woman explaining the gospel to her and telling her about our hope in Christ. We have answers, and I say that in all humility. We have answers, the truths of Scripture. God has given us His book, and it's changed us forever. Now, as you're finding 1 Peter chapter 2, I also want to thank Ted Chun for preaching for me last week when I was sick. I heard so much good response. Ted, thank you so much. God just got me out of the way so we would finally get some good preaching here for a week, right? Thank you, Ted. Well, on this third time that I get to preach to you in this new year of 2019, it's my strong desire as your pastor to keep first things first. First things first. To begin this new year with our priorities straight. To put the big rocks in first, or else they won't fit in later. And so for a third time, I quote to you C.S. Lewis. Notice at the top of your sermon handout, put first things first. And we get second things thrown in. Put second things first and we lose both first and second things. I mean, we don't want to be like Martha, distracted from Christ by good things, yes, but misplaced things, priorities out of focus. Luke 10:41, Martha, Martha, you are worried and bothered about so many things, says Jesus. I hope that's not you this morning. Refocus. Only a few things are necessary. Really, only one, says Jesus. For Mary has chosen the good part, which will not be taken away from her. And where was Mary? Well, here's Martha choosing her distracting preparations of a meal. And there's the Savior right there in her house. But Mary was listening to the Lord's word, seated at His feet. Now, what is Jesus saying? Don't work. Just listen to sermons all day long while others do all the hard work and all the serving. Is that what Jesus was trying to say to Martha and Mary? No. Instead, He's saying, put first things first, and then you'll get the second things thrown in as a bonus in their place. And so at the beginning of this new year, I'm exhorting you to put the really important things at the top of your priority list and do them first all year long. And what really matters in 2019? And we all say, God's Word. God's Word really, truly matters. Love your Bible. Seek it. Cherish it. Read it. Like those dear folks that one of my professors reached as a missionary. He said they would just pick up their Bibles and they would kiss their Bibles. They just loved the Word of God. It wasn't symbolic for them. Pursue it, study it, obey it, grow through the pure milk of the Word of God. And my challenge to you then for a third and final week is this. Drink yourself healthy in 2019. The pure milk of the Word. 1 Peter 2, 1-3, that's our passage. I want to start back in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22 and read down to 2-3. And I'm reading from the New American Standard Bible. Since you have in obedience to the truth purified your souls for a sincere love of the brethren, fervently love one another from the heart. For you've been born again, not of seed which is perishable, but imperishable, that is, through the living and abiding word of God. For all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers, and the flower falls off, but the word of the Lord abides forever. And this is the word which was preached to you. Therefore, putting aside all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander, like newborn babies, long for the pure milk of the word, so that by it you may grow in respect to salvation, if you have tasted the kindness of the Lord. Now, in our study, we began with letter A, the participation, and I picked this passage to begin our journey together in 2019 because I so want you to be lifted up and comforted and stirred up and encouraged and filled with hope at the beginning of this year. This passage speaks to us when we feel spiritually stuck, paralyzed, lacking motivation, spiritual fatalism. I'm beginning a new year in Christ and I'll just never change. I'll always be the way I am. And if you feel like your past and your present and your circumstances are just too overpowering and too controlling for you to overcome, I say to you again, on the basis of our passage, with the authority of God's word, that's wrong. That's utterly wrong. You are meant to grow. You are meant to press on and change and make progress. And there is right here before your eyes abundant hope and motivation right in our text. God expects and he commands you to grow, not succumbing to despair, spiritual fatalism. He commands you to feel, to have strong and powerful desire, to long for his word, and not to give in to spiritual passivity. And as God commands, praise him, he enables. And there is so much for you right here, right now. It's on your lap. It's there right before your eyes. God's word is open before us. We're reading it. We're studying it, and that should always give us hope, and that should always make us optimistic. And that is proof, brothers and sisters, that our Father is at work in you so that you will will and work for his good pleasure. His word never returns void. It always accomplishes the purpose for which he sends it. So God is working in you right now by his Spirit through his word, and I say again to you, have hope and be encouraged. Now you know this, Christian. Letter B, the power. Verses 1 and 2. Therefore, long for the word. Why? Well, because chapter 1, God our Father spiritually birthed you through his mighty word. You've already tasted the life-transforming, eternally transforming word of God. He regenerated you. He brought the new birth through his word. 1:23, you've been born again through the living and abiding word of God. So then, if you're a Christian this morning, you already know this by experience. You already know the life-changing power of the Bible. If it can create a new heart in you in regeneration, then it can continue to change you even by creating desire and craving and longing where there is little of that this morning. That should encourage you. But letter C, there is the prerequisite. And we said to long for God's word, Peter tells us we have to face the sin in our lives and we have to put it aside. Put them off and put this on, the longing for the pure milk of the word. And that's why we studied through those sins of chapter 2, verse 1. Strip them all away like a smelly, dirty garment. You know what those things are like. They're in our garage, right? All malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, slander, a repentant, broken heart. That's what's required to long for God's word. The Lord says in Isaiah 66:2, but to this one I will look, to him who is humble and contrite of spirit and who trembles at my word. Yes, Lord, make us humble people who tremble before the scriptures. Well, then we put off these sins, verse 1, to put on this letter D, the passion. What passion? Well, this intense craving, this longing for the pure milk of the word. Do what newborns do. We all know that, whether we're parents or not. Do what just now born babies do. Passionately pursue milk. And we talked about duty versus desire. We all have these duties, these responsibilities to be in God's word. But the Lord wants us to have a desire that goes beyond a mere sense of duty. Oh, well, here I am, same time, same place, same Bible. Lord, just try to teach me something. That's not what God's asking, right? Go beyond the duty and that sense of responsibility. I mean, that's the attitude I have when I know I have to go speed walk, right? I'm going to go out for an hour and get sweaty and just, it's going to be painful. And I do it because I know I have to, but I really don't look forward to it. We all know duty and responsibility, and God is saying, uh-uh, not with his word. Yes, there is that duty, but there is delight that he's calling us to, a longing, this intense desire. Lord, give me that kind of craving. God wants your heart to be in this. And when you don't see that kind of delight, brothers and sisters, in your heart, then that should humble you and that should send you back to Christ. And so I say again, pray for Christ right now to do that heart surgery in you. That what is commanded here would be true of us, to give us such longings for his word. Pray for grace. Confess your apathy. And then read, and read more. May you find God's holy word to be sweeter than honey and the drippings of the honeycomb, Psalm 19:10. Your words were found and I ate them, Jeremiah 15:16. So today when you're biting into that chicken wing, you know, or that burger, we're all going to be celebrating, I know, with the Super Bowl. Just think about the word of God. That's what I want, that kind of ravenous appetite for the pure milk of the word. Eat up, drink up. Now, what's so wonderful about God's word? Well, letter E, the purity, verse 2. It is the pure word of God, pure milk. Always healthy, unadulterated, unmixed, uncontaminated. It won't make you sick. The scriptures have all the spiritual vitamins and nutrients that you need to grow in Christ, to thrive. So drink yourself healthy in 2019. Chug-a-lug, tip your head back, and guzzle the pure milk of the word. That's all review. Now today, let's pick up our study with letter F. Notice now the process. Verse 2, like just now born babies, long for the pure milk. Why? Well, notice point 1. So that by it you may grow with respect to salvation. That's the process. That's what happens in the Christian life day by day. You feed on the word and you grow, right? Just like when you remember those years of adolescence, I remember my dad saying to me, do you ever stop eating? You know, with 12 kids, I know that was a heavy burden for dad. I remember eating 13 bologna sandwiches in one day, you know. Yeah, we ate bologna, right? You feed on the word and you grow and you feed more and you grow more. Drink up, grow, guzzle, grow more. Now let's explain this with letter A. Notice the necessity of progress. The necessity of progress. And here's the point. Growth is not an option for you, brothers and sisters. It's commanded and it's expected of you by the Lord. 2 Peter 3:18, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Colossians 1:28, you remember, Paul labored to present every man complete in Christ. That is, perfect, mature, fully grown. And as a church, corporately, here's God's plan and expectation. It's Ephesians 4:11 to 16. He gave some as apostles and some as prophets, some as evangelists, some as pastors and teachers, for the equipping, the building up of the saints for the work of service to the building up of the body of Christ. So the leaders build the body and the body builds itself up through the gifts given by the Holy Spirit. Until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. As a result, we are no longer to be children tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming, but speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by that which every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. We must grow individually and as a body. It's commanded. It's expected. Are you growing? As we think about the Lord's table today and evaluating ourselves, are you growing? honestly. Peter in verse 2 literally says, grow into salvation. And he's referring to that full, final salvation that's up ahead. And so let me remind us of the three tenses of salvation, right? Scripture is clear about this. We have been saved, past tense. For by grace you have been saved, right? Past tense, you've been saved. But then there's the present tense. We are being saved. That's what we would call sanctification. In 1 Corinthians 1:18, to us who are being saved, present tense, the word of the cross is not foolishness, it's the power of God. And then lastly, there's that future tense, we will be saved fully and finally. Romans 13:11, salvation is nearer to us than when we first believed. Not a remarkable statement. I have been saved, and yet salvation is nearer to me with each day. How's that? Well, in that future, full and final sense, we're moving toward that salvation future. And that's the salvation that Peter has in mind in verse 2. Grow into salvation. Grow to obtain that final salvation on the last day. Spiritual growth is necessary for that final salvation. So then day by day, we must be increasingly maturing and progressing and increasing in Christ's likeness, because full and final salvation is reached by growth for the people of God. Now God's part, that's to give the growth. But we have this part two to be about pressing on and growing. And that's the necessity of progress, of sanctification. And then next, I want you to see letter B. Notice the nature of progress. Well, how do I know if I'm growing? How do I measure? And as I asked that question of myself this last week and how I would present that, this morning is a communion Sunday, and in preparing for the Lord's table, Paul tells us, you remember 1 Corinthians 11:28, to examine ourselves, right? Examine yourself. So to help you do that, I want to give you three areas in your life to evaluate. And they all begin with the letter H. And first of all, ask yourself from 1 Peter, am I growing in hope? Evaluate there. Am I growing in hope? This confident expectation about the future. And I get to the end of the day and I think, did I think on heaven? Did I look ahead to the return of Christ? 1 Peter 1, 3, and 4. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to his great mercy, has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. It's there, waiting for you. Are you hoping in heaven? Are you hoping in your future inheritance? And then look at chapter 1, verse 13. Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Keep sober in spirit. Fix your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Are you hoping in the Lord's return? Are you hoping it's going to be 2019? Are you hoping in future grace? Hope is such a magnificent word. You know how we do study through the book of Proverbs with our family. And we just almost finished Proverbs 31 this last week, and we were studying that Proverbs 31 woman. And one statement about her was wonderful and captivating to me, and I've been thinking about it over and over this past week. It's Proverbs 31:25. It says of that woman, strength and dignity are her clothing. And then this really struck me. I've read it so many times, but it really struck me this last week. It says, and she smiles at the future. She smiles at the future. Does that describe you? Not terror and worry and fear, but because of Christ, when you think about what's up ahead, you smile. One translation is, laugh. She laughs at the future. We can't wait. The nature of progress is growing in hope. And then secondly, ask yourself from 1 Peter, am I growing in holiness? There's the second H. Am I growing in hope? Am I growing in holiness? And here in 1 Peter chapter 1, 14 to 16, Peter sets us straight on this issue of holiness as children of obedience, literally like Obedience is your parent, and so you're going to look like your father or your mother. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the former lusts, which were yours in your ignorance, but like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourselves also in all your behavior, because it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. Holiness, Peter says, separation from sinful lusts and worldliness. He says, former lusts, not to be in your life now. But the standard is not that I look around at other Christians and say, well, how holy should I be? Well, what do they do and what do they not do? That's not it. The standard isn't other Christians, but God himself. Be holy as he is holy. Hope, holiness, that's the nature of progress. And here's a third. Ask yourself, am I growing in humility? Three H's from the book of 1 Peter. And turn over to 1 Peter chapter 5. We just did this remarkable, wonderful study as men through C.J. Mahaney's book on humility. 1 Peter 5, 5 through 6. You younger men, likewise, be subject to your elders, and all of you clothe yourselves with humility toward one another, for God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. I don't want to have God opposed to my life. I want to be in the pathway of grace. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at the proper time. Are you contending with God this morning and fighting to have his glory given to you? Or transferring all of the praise and glory and honor to him, since he alone deserves it? And are you regarding others as more important than yourself and actually serving others like Christ Jesus humbled himself to serve us? Philippians 2, 3 through 8. Hope, holiness, humility. Those three help us understand the nature of progress from 1 Peter. And then next, let's move on to letter C, the misunderstanding of progress. And under this point, I just want to emphasize some false or unbiblical ideas that we may have about our growth in Christ. And I want to just touch on four misunderstandings. And here's the first one. Don't assume you're growing just because you're not, in your own self-evaluation, spiritually declining. I must be doing well because I don't think I'm going backwards, at least. Well, you see, in 2 Peter, the next book over, chapter 1, verse 8, Peter says, are these Christian virtues yours, and are they increasing? You see, that's growth. Secondly, don't assume that duration of time knowing the Lord is the same thing as maturity. Well, I've known the Lord for 50 years. Of course I'm growing. Well, for me, I've known the Lord for 40 years. But time does not equal maturity, does it? It does not. Here's the issue. What did you do with your time and opportunity? Did you see what we read this morning in Ephesians chapter 5? And that section there where Paul says, verse 15, therefore be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise. Skillful living, not just living in Christ, but skillful living. Actually making the most of your time, kairos, your opportunity. Buying them up, your opportunities, because the days are evil. What do you do with your time and your opportunity? And it's always bothered me, that warning of Hebrews 5:12, where the writer of Hebrews says, by this time, you Christians should be teachers, but instead you have someone who needs to teach you the basics of the Christian life. You should be teaching, and instead someone needs to take you back to the ABCs. So time doesn't cut it. There's this better picture that I love, and I don't want to be guilty of only reading it at a funeral. It's Psalm 92. I read it again this past week. Psalm 92, starting at verse 12. Here's the picture of the man I want to be. You ready for this? The righteous man will flourish like the palm tree. He will grow like a cedar in Lebanon, planted in the house of the Lord. They will flourish in the courts of our God. They will still yield fruit in old age. They will be full of sap and very green. To declare that the Lord is upright. He is my rock and there is no unrighteousness in him. Always growing, always sappy and green and thriving, even into old age. And then there's a third misunderstanding. Don't assume growth in knowledge is the same thing as Christian growth. Oh, you know that one. I know that one, really. See, because we're Americans and we equate knowledge with mastery and maturity, and those two are not the same. And I remind you of James 1:22. Prove yourselves what? Not merely hearers, but prove yourselves doers of the word. It doesn't even count if you can preach it like I do, right? And you can explain it to people, but are you doing it? Knowledge alone, that's not the same as Christian growth. And look out, because 1 Corinthians 8:1 reminds us that knowledge puffs up, doesn't it? You can end up with a big old fat head because you can correct everyone around you on their doctrine. But are you living it? Knowledge makes arrogant. Love edifies. And then lastly, number four, a last misunderstanding. Don't assume that because you're not increasing spiritually as fast as you expected or as quickly as you think others are, that you're not growing. See, so you can start thinking, oh, man, I really thought I would be growing much quicker than this, and everyone else seems to be growing around me faster than I am. Well, don't worry about those things. Just keep looking to Christ, and just keep immersing yourself in his word, and you will grow. And that brings us to letter D, the means of progress. And of course, it is the word of God, verse 2. God's scriptures, the God-breathed scriptures, will grow you into salvation. Through the word, God will conform you to Christ. Is it happening in your life? John 17:17, sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. And so here's the word of God that sets us apart for God's holy purposes and grows us in holiness and grows us in Christ-likeness. And I hope that that's why you're here right now, to grow and make progress in your discipleship to the Lord Jesus. And on the negative side, we have to conclude that we're not going to grow apart from the ministry of the word in our lives. And I want to read again from Donald Whitney, Spiritual Disciplines for the Christian Life. He writes, no spiritual discipline is more important than the intake of God's word. Nothing can substitute for it. There simply is no healthy Christian life apart from a diet of the milk and meat of Scripture. Amen. Don't try it. Just immerse yourself. Long for the pure milk of the word. And that brings us to a very basic question. We all need to understand the answer. So notice point two now. How does the word of God produce growth in us? And I take us to a very familiar passage, 2 Timothy chapter 3, starting at verse 13. Paul issues this strong warning, but evil men and imposters will proceed from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. What is our hope in these last days? Verse 14, you, however, continue, Timothy, in the things you have learned and become convinced of, knowing from whom you have learned them. And that from childhood you've known the sacred writings which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is God-breathed, theopneustos. It's profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. Timothy, it's only going to get worse. And even among professing believers, they're going to accumulate for themselves teachers who just tickle their ears. But Timothy, you just stay put in the convictions of what you've been taught. Be faithful in the word. Verse 15, it saves. And verses 16 and 17, it grows. It grows us. And how? Well, I've grouped them together on your outline there. Notice, letter A, teaching and training. Teaching because change, remember, brothers and sisters, it comes through the renewal and the transformation of your mind. Don't be conformed to the world. We're going to see this in Romans 12:2, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And our need then is comprehensive instruction, the whole counsel of God. And there is so much to learn about God, God the Father, and God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And all you TOEFL folks, Theological Foundations for Leadership, we're in our second year of this, and some of you have done it two times or more. And we just keep going back. And this is my 11th time, and every time I go through and we do this study, I see new things, and I go deeper. We need to learn about the gospel, redemption accomplished and applied, God's will toward himself, toward others, in the church, how we really interact as brothers and sisters, pursuing unity and diversity, marriage, parenting, your workplace, on and on, toward the world. We need that teaching and that training. And then letter B, reproving and correcting. Well, teaching says, here's the path, and praise God for reproof that shows us when we're off the path. When the Word of God judges the thoughts and intentions of our hearts and confronts wrong thinking and wrong living. But I'm so thankful that God not only confronts us in the error, but he corrects us. You're off the path, and here's how to get back on the path. Here's what to put in place of our sin. Here's the putting off, reproof. Here's positively the putting on, the correction. And we see that even in our passage, don't we? In 1 Peter chapter 2, 1, here's the reproof. Put all these things aside. Do you see malice and deceit and hypocrisy and envy and slander? Put that all aside. But here's what you put on. Verse 2. You long for the pure milk of the word like just now born babies. That's the better way. That's what you put on. That's the correction. And then letter C. How does the word of God produce growth in us? It makes us adequate and equipped, complete, capable, proficient. God's word is sufficient. Do you realize that, brothers and sisters? There's nothing God's withholding from you. So that you'll get to heaven and say, he'll say, you know, you should have known that. But it wasn't in your word. That'll never happen. The word of God tells you everything you need to know about the word of God, period. And every good work, there's nothing hidden. And it enables and empowers you to obey and do God's will. It equips and prepares you to live the Christian life. And lastly, how does the word of God produce growth in us? Notice letter D, because my mind went to Psalm 19, making wise and producing the fear of the Lord. This is what the word of God does in us. This is how it grows us. And as I said, I'm thinking of Psalm 19. I preached it not too long ago on a Sunday evening service. And in Psalm 19, verse 7, we read, the law of the Lord is perfect, restoring the soul. Literally, his word causes the soul to turn around. For the unsaved, that means salvation. That means repentance and a transformation, a turnaround of salvation. For the saved, it means a returning from straying. It restores the soul. It turns it around. And then the next half of the verse, the testimony of the Lord is sure. Here it is, making wise the simple. And maybe you're like me and you've realized through the years, I'm not wise. I just don't know how to live skillfully. Go to the Word. That's what it does. It makes wise the simple. It will change you and make you a person who lives skillfully. That's wisdom. Isn't that what you want? And then verses 8 and 9, the precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. And then there's this really amazing statement in verse 9. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. And interestingly enough, the scriptures are called the fear of the Lord, or the fear of Yahweh. And that's because that's what they produce in us. As we read the word of God, that response is fostered by God's word of reverence and awe and worship and humility before the Lord. Perfecting holiness in the fear of the Lord, come to the Word, and it will change you like that. All this and more, God's Word produces in us and grows us this way in Christ. And no wonder Psalm 19, verse 10, to say it again, describes the Word like this. They are more desirable than gold, yes, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey, and the drippings of the honeycomb. So then, like just now born babies, Long for the pure milk of the word so that by it you may grow. And then letter G, lastly, the past, verse 3. If you have tasted the kindness of the Lord. Now, Peter doesn't write that word if they're making this a conditional clause, by the way. He doesn't write if to make us doubt our salvation. Wow, does he think maybe these folks didn't know the Lord after all? No. Here's what Peter's doing. He wants us to ask ourselves, have I tasted the sweetness of God's kindness and goodness and grace in Christ? And Peter knows that every Christian is going to answer, yes. Yes, I have. Well, then, if indeed we've tasted of God's kindness in Christ, and we have, then we must long for the pure milk of the word so that we keep growing. That's how he's reasoning with us. You've entered this love relationship with the Lord by his amazing grace and kindness to you in Christ. So keep growing in that relationship by longing for God's word. And he's alluding to Psalm 34, verse 8. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Have you tasted the sweetness of the Lord? Every believer would say, amen. God has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. And if you have tasted of the Lord's sweetness, then keep drinking that pure milk of the word, his word. That's how Peter's reasoning with us. Is God still kind to you? Is he still showing his goodness by answering your prayers and providing for you and forgiving you and enabling you, giving grace in trials, teaching you, protecting you, giving you hope, joy, satisfaction? Then keep longing for the pure milk of the word. As we close and as we prepare for the Lord's table, I want to ask you to bow your heads, and I want to bring you back to a few things that I've mentioned to you, and I want to follow up on them with you as far as applying this passage further. And so I want to ask you to really think about this with your head bowed. We've been 3 weeks now in this passage, and I ask you again, between you and the Lord, are you prioritizing your life this way? Are you putting first things first? And you know, you and the Lord, your daily routine. You know whether or not you're buying up the time and making the most of your opportunities. And so I ask you to evaluate what details of your life are keeping you from this crucial priority of longing for and drinking up God's word. What do you need to reprioritize? What do you need to readjust? What's your plan to change? Talk to the Lord about that. And be honest with him. And where you see that those longings, those desires are not there, confess that to him. Pray for his grace. Pray for that change, that heart transformation. He's already brought that transformation when he brought the new birth. He can certainly continue to work in your heart. Ask him to do that through the Lord Jesus. And then I ask you again, do you have a partner, or do you have maybe a group, a ladies' study, a men's study, someone or someones to do this commitment with you and to hold you accountable? To feel like you're in this together. I want to go deeper in the word. Would you help me? Let's do this together. And so this week, I say to you again, block out those distractions. Throw away the junk food, reach for the pure milk of the word, and just guzzle it down. Guzzle it down. Our Father in heaven, how blessed we are to open this book of all books. How blessed we are to read this supernatural gift from you, sweeter to us than honey. The very words of life by which we were saved. The words of life by which we grow to be like Christ. The precious words that show us the wonder and greatness and beauty and incomparable majesty of Christ. your word, your living word, your active word, your word which is all edge. How we thank you for its mighty power in us. How we thank you that your word speaks even to us this morning, and that has nothing to do with me or any of us. It is your word, and how we rejoice to have your word. And it is our desire, Father, to have this longing for the word and the word acting on us, since we have tasted of the kindness of the Lord. May your word act on us this very day to grow us, to be like the Lord Jesus, so that we're responding to your grace with gratitude and longing. And all this for the Lord Jesus, for his glory, as we follow him and look to him and pray in his great name. Amen.